President Trump abruptly reversed his opinion about a vote on the Epstein files.
Trump now says he is in favor of a vote to release information about the convicted sex offender who was his friend for years. The president and his allies in Congress resisted this vote for months. It now seems that many Republicans will join Democrats in voting against the president, so last night the president raced to get in front of that defeat, saying he approves of the vote and, quote, we have nothing to hide. Notably, the House is voting for the Justice Department that Trump controls to release whatever information it has, which Trump's attorney general previously declined to do.
NPR's Luke Garrett is with us. Trump is now telling Republicans they should vote to tell him to act. Luke, why change now?
Yeah, that's right. And we need to go back a few days to better understand this move and this moment. Last week, Representatives Thomas Massie of Kentucky, a Republican, and Ro Khanna of California, a Democrat, gathered 218 signatures. That's enough to force a vote on the release of the DOJ documents regarding the late convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. And a source familiar but not authorized to share the House schedule publicly confirmed that Speaker Johnson would bring this vote up on Tuesday. This teed up a really difficult vote for Republicans who had to decide whether to vote with Trump and against the bill or vote to release the Epstein files. And this was also tough for Trump himself, who faced, you know, dozens of potential defectors.
All right, so if the vote is on Tuesday, why did Trump make this Sunday late night announcement?
Well, in a social media post last night, Trump said he wanted the GOP to move on from what he called the Democratic hoax and distraction. And notably, on the Sunday morning news shows, two House Republicans publicly and loudly rebuked Trump over the Epstein files. On ABC News, Massie took a warning shot against Trump's legacy and any GOP member willing to vote against this bill.
In 2030, he's not going to be the president, and you will have voted to protect pedophiles if you don't vote to release these files, and the president can't protect you.
Massie then said he believed 100 or more House Republicans would vote for the Epstein file bill, even though only a handful signed on to force the ballot.
Wasn't one of them Georgia Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene?
Yeah, that's right. And Trump recently called her a traitor and revoked his political endorsement from her after she became more critical of his policies. When asked why she and Trump had this falling out, Green told CNN,
"Unfortunately, it has all come down to the Epstein files, and that is shocking."
Now, both Massie and Green said they don't believe Trump himself will be implicated in the files, but these public breaks with the president represented a growing and powerful fissure in the party.
Okay, so now that Trump is telling all Republicans to vote for the Epstein file bill, what happens now?
Well, my sources say the House vote is still set for Tuesday. And with Trump giving Republicans permission to support it and every Democrat signing the discharge petition, this bill has a really good chance of advancing. In the Senate, it remains unclear if and when Majority Leader John Thune will bring this up for a vote. But again, Trump's endorsement of the bill, you know, does not hurt. And Thune has said in the last few weeks, you know, he likes this idea of greater transparency. But even if it passes through Congress and the White House, lawmakers Massie and Khanna were warning yesterday that the files might still be kept from the public.
So after all that, how could that be possible?
Well, Massie and Khanna raised alarm over the new Justice Department investigation into the Epstein case, something it declined to do a few months back. Trump referenced this in his post last night. He said his DOJ is, quote, looking at various Democrat operatives, Bill Clinton, Reid Hoffman, Larry Summers, etc., and their relationships to Epstein, end quote. Massie told ABC News that these investigations could mask the documents further.
If they have ongoing investigations in certain areas, those documents can't be released. So this might be a big smokescreen.
The Justice Department has not yet responded to my request for comment on whether an investigation would in fact bar them from releasing these documents, even if a law told them to do so.
That's NPR's Luke Garrett. Luke, thanks a lot.
You bet.
The Trump administration is putting more pressure on Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro. Over the weekend, the U.S.'s most advanced aircraft carrier arrived in the Caribbean, joining nearly a dozen other naval warships that are already there.
The president has been weighing military options against Venezuela, and he told reporters last night that Maduro appears ready to talk.
We may be having some discussions with Maduro, and we'll see how that turns out. They would like to talk.
The U.S. has been blowing up small boats leaving Venezuela and other South American countries, claiming they are transporting drugs. The open question is what else the U.S. means to do.
For more, we go to NPR's Carrie Khan, who is in Bogota, Colombia. So, Carrie, what has Maduro said about the buildup off the coast of Venezuela?
Over the weekend, he gathered supporters and he announced this plan to rally civilians to defend Venezuela against attack. But listen to this. He told the crowd he just wants peace, peace, peace.
Peace, peace, peace. Hacer todo por la paz.
Everything for peace, he says, like the John Lennon song Imagine, which he then began to sing in English.
Imagining us people.
Yesterday, the U.S. said it will designate the Cartel de los Soles, which they claim Maduro leads, as a foreign terrorist organization. Maduro denies he's a trafficker.
Yeah, that designation would allow the U.S. military to target Maduro's assets in Venezuela. So what are people in Venezuela saying about any imminent U.S. strike?
Well, the thing is, I can't get into the country, eh? We've been asking for a visa for months, and I'm waiting here in neighboring Colombia with our latest ask. The country's opposition leader, though, Maria Corina Machado, she put out quite an interesting message yesterday urging Maduro's security apparatus to defy his orders.
Bajen las armas. No ataquen a su pueblo.
She says, lower your arms, don't attack your people. She says, the decisive hour in Venezuela's liberation is coming, and she urged people to be heroes. Machado has been living in hiding since last year's elections that were widely condemned, and many, including the USA, were stolen by Maduro. But there's a lot of talk now that she actually left the country and is on her way to Oslo to accept the Nobel Peace Prize next month. It's unclear if she will be allowed back in the country.
Now, you were just in Ecuador yesterday. That's neighboring Venezuela and Colombia, where voters there rejected a referendum that would have let the U.S. set up a military basis to fight against drug traffickers. Why the no vote?
It was really a bit of a surprise, given just the surge in drug gang-related violence there. It's just overtaken that country. And multiple Trump officials have been visiting Ecuador recently. They've been backing the young conservative president there, who is a staunch Trump ally. The measure included rewriting the Constitution. And for many, like this no voter, Rosita Guchimillo, a 48-year-old homemaker in Quito, this was really a no-confidence vote for President Daniel Noboa. She says, we just don't trust him anymore. She says he'll rewrite the Constitution to favor himself, and she didn't want to give the U.S. what she said would have been a blank check.
That's NPR's Carrie Kahn in Bogota, Colombia. Carrie, thanks.
You're welcome.
Border Patrol agents fanned out across Charlotte, North Carolina over the weekend, detaining people outside supermarkets, laundromats, auto shops, even a church.
It's the latest city to see a federal immigration crackdown. Similar operations came in Chicago and Los Angeles.
Nick De La Canal with member station WFAE has been following this and joins us once again. Nick, welcome back.
Thank you.
What's it like to be around Charlotte right now?
Well, we started to see this crackdown Saturday morning when the city woke up to dozens of Border Patrol agents driving through Charlotte in unmarked vans, especially along the city's major immigrant corridors. And very quickly, videos started circulating online of agents chasing people down sidewalks, breaking the car window of a man who later said he was a U.S. citizen. Agents were also filmed questioning landscapers who were putting up Christmas lights in a front yard. And, you know, it created a lot of chaos. One of the people I spoke with was Jessica Arias, who owns an auto shop in East Charlotte. And she says one of her employees was detained after agents pulled up and chased him.
They just came random. They are picking people random. They are not here for delinquents. They are here for working people.
And then that sense of chaos really continued on into Sunday, when a man was hospitalized for a medical episode as agents were trying to detain him outside a church.
Very interested by those details, questioning people who are working, breaking the window of someone who says he's a U.S. citizen. But what is Customs and Border Protection saying about all this?
Well, Border Patrol Commander Greg Bovino said agents arrested 81 people on Saturday. We're still waiting on numbers from Sunday. What we don't know is who these people are. The agency hasn't released names or charges. Bovino has shared photos on social media of some of the people arrested, saying they had DUIs or criminal histories, but he hasn't identified them, so we really can't say for sure. Meanwhile, the Department of Homeland Security put out a statement saying it surged agents to Charlotte to, quote, ensure Americans are safe and safety threats are removed.
Ensuring Americans are safe. So when you talk to residents, are they feeling safe?
Well, the residents I spoke with, especially in immigrant communities, say they are very fearful right now. You know, I was walking down Central Avenue on Saturday, which is lined with Hispanic businesses. I saw restaurants lock their doors with customers inside. Other shops closed early and sent workers home. Some people told me that they're essentially going into hiding. I talked with a construction worker, Lopez Nunez, outside a Walmart on Sunday. He said he's keeping his undocumented wife and newborn home for the week.
You really need to go outside. It's for an emergency. If you try to stay, just stay home. Be safe. And don't open the door for ICE.
And in a joint statement, Charlotte Mayor Vilayl said agents were causing unnecessary fear and that she stands with residents who want to simply go about their lives.
So what is the broader plan of immigration authorities here as far as you know?
We don't really know. We don't know how long this operation will last. DHS hasn't said. We are seeing some community pushback. You know, there was a big protest in Uptown on Saturday, and advocacy groups are recruiting volunteers to monitor agents. We've already seen some tense confrontations between activists and agents. And so I think what we can expect is for the tension to grow for as long as this operation continues.
Nick De La Canal of member station WFAE, thanks for the update.
Thank you.